All right, and I want you to stay standing for the beginning of my sermon, because I'm going to begin my sermon this morning by asking you a question. I want to ask you, what's one of the dumbest things that you've done in your life? Have you ever done something or said something, and as soon as it happened or as soon as you said it, you went, oh my goodness, that was not my finest, most intelligent moment? We probably all have those, don't we? Sometimes they're embarrassing. Sometimes they're dangerous. Sometimes they're downright illegal, accidentally running a red light or something. Sometimes, well, most of the time, they're hilarious for everybody else, right? That I cannot believe I just did that moment, right? So here's a couple of illustrations for you, okay? I was laughing at an artist the other day. Elaine and I bought a box of cards, and as we were filling them out, the card says on the front, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I was laughing at this card because this fine artist has created these wonderful, pretty cards. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." S-H-E-P-E-R-D. The Lord is my... There's no H in shepherd. And somehow it got past the artist and all the people that design these things and print them. And it got past the bookstore owner. Or maybe that's why it was on sale for half price. And it got past us until I got it home. And I went, "The Lord is my shepherd. I can't even use these." So if you don't mind having misspelled cards, come talk to me. All right? Now, I don't want to just blame someone else. I want to tell you about one of my not-so-brilliant moments. When Elaine and I were younger, when we were first married, we were walking together through a crowded shopping mall. And I got distracted by something in one of the windows, and so I let go of Elaine's hand, and I stopped for a moment to look in the windows. I'm not ADHD. Oh, look, a butterfly. Elaine wandered ahead of me through the crowd, and when I was finished, I hurried back through the crowd to catch up to my sweetheart from behind, swooped down to catch her hand, and as I did so, I said, "Hey, baby, I love you," and I cheerfully leaned in to give a kiss to a complete stranger who was looking at me, holding her hand like I was a serial killer. I was completely mortified, and Elaine still bugs me about it sometimes to my day. Not my most intelligent moment. Okay, so now it's your turn. I want you to turn to someone beside you, in front of you. If you're here with your dad, you need to go, "Dad, tell me about a time that you did something really dumb," okay? And I'll just give you a moment to do that. So go ahead and do that. All right, if you finished your story, the other person can turn and tell you their story. I'll give you another few moments to share those stories with each other. And some of you are not participating, and I see you. I'm going to call you up. We've all had those moments, haven't we? And so I just wanted us to start with that idea that we're not always at our best. We're not always at our most intelligent. And sometimes we do some things that we go, "Man, I cannot believe I did that." And I wanted us to do that before we looked at our scripture for this morning. All right? And you might recognize this scripture. It might not be the first time you've ever seen this particular passage. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." In fact, I'm pretty sure that most of you know this psalm by heart, right? Let's just take a moment and just recite it from our hearts together. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is one of those passages of Scripture that just resonates with us, doesn't it? Whether we hear it at a wedding when two people are dedicating their lives to each other, whether we hear it at a baby dedication where parents are bringing a newborn, or we hear it in a hospital when we're going through sickness or facing surgery, whether we hear it at a funeral, or whether we just read it as part of our regular quiet times, the 23rd Psalm has been one of the most loved portions of Scripture down through the many centuries since it was first written, a precious jewel in the Bible's amazing treasure house. Many Christians commit it to memory as small children, and they have it recited in their funerals. It bookends our lives, and it fills the moments in between. It is a passage that dries your tears and calms your fears. It is one of God's most precious gifts to us, and it has become a part of shaping the disciples of Jesus that you and I are becoming. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. This morning I want you to consider this idea, this name of God that is given to us in Scripture. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Because the parallel assertion, if God is a shepherd, then you and I are sheep. It says this over and over again in Scripture, right? The Bible says that you and I are like sheep. Psalm 119, 176, I've wandered away like a lost sheep. Matthew 10, 16, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. 2 Kings or 1 Kings 22, 17, Micah says, in a vision I saw all of Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew 9, verse 16, it says, Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. When God calls himself Yahweh Rohi, God our shepherd, the one thing that you got to get clear this morning is that this is no compliment for you and I. Okay? Sheep are not the brightest animals on the farm. All these nice pastoral scriptural verses about us being like sheep does not change the fact that sheep are sheep. They're feeble, prone to wandering away, helpless and timid, requiring constant attention and meticulous care. K. Arthur says this about sheep. If they do not have the constant care of a shepherd, they will go the wrong way, unaware of the dangers at hand. They have been known to nibble themselves right off of a mountainside. If they're not led to proper pastures, they will obliviously eat or drink things that are dangerous or disastrous to them. Sheep are dumb. We can talk later. When I was a little kid, I loved animals. I still do. And we lived on a hobby farm, so I could get all kinds of animals. My dad liked to actually bring home all the animals that I wanted. At one point, he was even looking at buying me llamas. Hamsters, gerbils, finches, fish, rabbits, horses, pigs, you name it, I owned it. When I was about 12 years old, I decided I wanted to own a sheep. So my dad bought me a sheep from a guy who lived a few miles away. Only thing was, I had to go get my own sheep. Oh, it took me the better part of an hour or so to separate that one sheep from the herd. Finally managed to get a rope on it. It dragged me around the pasture for another hour or two, and that was a lot of fun. I think the sheep outweighed me. By that time, the sheep is so exhausted, and so am I, that neither one of us feel like we can move a whole lot. So the sheep just lays down, refuses to get up. And I'm like, I can't drag this thing the whole way home. So I tied it up to the fence post, and I called for help. My brother Jason comes with a wheelbarrow, and we managed to hoist that lousy animal up into the wheelbarrow, and off we go. About halfway home, this sheep decides that it has a little bit of energy left after all. So it tries to leap out of the wheelbarrow and goes herring off down the road. And so my brother and I go trucking after it and have to tackle it, get it back up into the wheelbarrow and wrestle it home to a pen with food and water just before sundown. Next morning, the sheep is gone. Just gone. Broke out in the middle of the night. To this day, I have no idea what happened to that sheep. We searched high and low for over a month for that sheep. We have no idea, no clue where it went. And so I decided right then and there that Isaiah 53:6 did not apply to me. I memorized Isaiah 53:6 in the King James Version where it says, all we like sheep. And I'm like, nah, I don't like sheep. No, I'm the exception. I don't like sheep. Sheep are not smart animals. So those are my initial thoughts from Scripture. Number one, God is a shepherd, Yahweh Roi. Number two, you are a sheep. And number three, sheep are not intelligent. God calls himself a shepherd and us a sheep, and it's not a compliment. So why does he do it? I think there's three things that God wants us to understand through this metaphor, Yahweh Roi, him being a shepherd and us being a sheep. First of all, God wants us to understand that we are lost on our own. Totally lost. Now, this is the opposite message that our world is trying to assert. This is the opposite message that our culture wants to proclaim. The world around us says, believe in yourself. You can do it. You can have it all. You are your own best counselor. If you can imagine it, then you can create it. If you can dream it, then you can become it. But this is what God's word says. It says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. Romans 7:18. God's word says, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Scripture says, without Jesus, our minds are full of darkness. We wander far from the life that God offers us. Ephesians 4:18. See, apart from God, apart from Yahweh Roi, we are completely and utterly lost. We are toast, burnt, unbuttered, multigrain toast. That's why he calls us sheep, because like sheep, we wander, we go astray, we get lost on our own. We're lost. But the second thing that God wants us to understand is that we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd, just like a sheep needs a shepherd, like a flower needs a bee, like a river needs a sea, like a lock needs a key, like 40 degree day really needs some AC. Man, was it hot yesterday, right? Yeah. Raise your hand if you don't have AC in your house the last couple days. Yeah, I hear you people. I don't have it either, so we all go hang out at Walmart together. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. David knows this. He's the guy that God inspired to write Psalm 23, and he spent most of his early life as a shepherd, looking after sheep. Last week we looked at David and Goliath, and you probably remember him talking about how he killed a lion and a bear as a shepherd in order to protect the sheep. So let me ask you, if that lion or that bear came around and David wasn't there, if there was no shepherd present when the lion came around, what would have happened to the sheep? They'd be dead. I really want to say mutton would have happened. On our own, we're lost. We are sheep without a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And the third thing that God wants us to understand is that when it comes to shepherd, he's a really, really great shepherd. Yahweh Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. If you got any other shepherd besides him, if there's anyone else that you are following, if there's anyone else that's leading you, you are settling for less than the best. In John 10:11, Jesus calls himself a good shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4, Peter calls Jesus the chief shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, the writer calls Jesus the great shepherd. And listen to Isaiah 40. Most of you know Isaiah 40 because of verse 31, right? It's such a great verse about eagles. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31 is an amazing verse, but Isaiah 40 is an amazing chapter. And in verse 11 of Isaiah 40, it describes God as a shepherd. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Oh man, we have a great God. Yahweh Roi, our shepherd. Anyone wants to try telling you that the Old Testament has got this God who's full of wrath and vengeful and always angry and hard to placate, you give them a gentle smack in the back of the head and you read them this verse, Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arm and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. W. Philip Keller wrote a really great book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's pretty old by now, but it's still a pretty good read. And Keller says that in order for sheep to lie down in peace and safety, a shepherd, a good shepherd, has to make sure that four things are true. They have to be free from hunger. The sheep have to be free from fear. The sheep have to be free from friction. And the sheep have to be free from pests. And this is what our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, gives to us. First of all, Yahweh Roi frees us from hunger. And I'm not talking about ordinary physical hunger here. I'm talking about the far deeper and much more painful spiritual hunger that we have. That eternity in our hearts that Ecclesiastes talks about. In Psalm 23, verse 2, we read that the good shepherd so completely satisfies his sheep that the sheep can lay down even when they are surrounded by the greenest, richest fields of grass. We don't even need to eat because we're so satisfied. He satisfies our hunger. Now, the primary way that he does this is through his word, through the Bible. It is no coincidence that the longest chapter in our Bible is Psalm 119, and it's all talking about how great the Word of God is. That's what satisfies our hunger. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and it's useful to teach us what's true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and it teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to equip his people to do every good work. Let me just encourage you to keep reading this book. There is no other book like this on earth. It is God's love letter to humanity. It introduces us to Jesus, our Savior. It builds our character. It informs our choices. It shapes our lives through his word. Yahweh Roi frees us from hunger. Second thing is, Yahweh Roi frees us from fear. And there's so many great passages in our Bibles about how God is our refuge in times of danger. He's the one that we run to. He's our stronghold. He's our sanctuary. He comforts and protects us. Psalm 23:4 says that even when we walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, God protects us. There's nothing to fear. And I could add scripture passage after scripture passage to underline that thought. Psalm 56:3, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. And if young, scrawny, teenage boy David can protect his flock from a lion and a bear, you can be sure that your Yahweh Roi can protect you from everything else. Everything else. He frees us from fear. Thirdly, Yahweh Roi frees us from friction. It says he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. See, in our profoundly individualistic and our profoundly lonely society, we forget that sheep is not a singular noun. Sheep are always in a flock. And that's why my poor, dumb sheep kept running away. Not because I was a bad shepherd. Okay, yeah, I was a bad shepherd. But also because a sheep needs a flock. We need each other. Bridgeway Community Church, we need each other. And yet you know, and I know, that few things on earth hurt as badly as a sheep bite. There's wolves out there, right? And we know that they bite. And there's bears out there, and we know they're carnivores, and we know that they're going to bite. And there's lions out there, and they're also out to get us. The Bible says that our enemy is like a roaming lion seeking to devour us. But sheep are not supposed to bite each other. And believe me, as a pastor, I've suffered some pretty nasty sheep bites over the years. And if I'm going to be honest with you, I've probably given a few as well. And so our shepherd says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Matthew 6:12. He says, this is my prayer that they may be one just as you and I are one, Father. John 17:21. He says, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples. It is by your love for one another. John 13:35. He says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, go. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother and then come back and worship. Matthew 5:23 and 24. As a church, as his flock, we need to fight for peace. We need to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We need to stop being so easily offended by the mistakes of others. We need to step in when we see two people fighting who are Christians and be peacemakers. We need to offer and ask for forgiveness. We need to allow our Yahweh Ro'i to free us from friction. This church has been around for a long time, 84 years. I'm pretty sure there's been some mistakes made in those 84 years, and maybe if you've been here a while, you've made a couple of them. Maybe it's time to ask for forgiveness. Maybe it's time to grant someone forgiveness, even if they don't ask. Let's allow our Yahweh Ro'i to free us from that friction. Let's love each other the way he expects us to. And the fourth thing we see is that Yahweh Ro'i frees us from pests, from the things that distract us, things that bother us, things that keep us from being his faithful followers. And a lot of these things are internal things, right? The things that we're still stumbling over: bitterness, rage, unforgiveness, unhealed hurt, pride, some of the things Darren even mentioned at the beginning of our service. There's so many things I want to say about this, but I just want to give you one passage that will underline this thought. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. You see, the book of Philippians is all about joy. It's all about joy in our walk as followers of Christ. And when Paul gets to the end of his letter, this is what he says. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what's right. Fix your thoughts on what is pure. Fix your thoughts on what is lovely. Fix your thoughts on what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. He's a really, really great shepherd. He really is. If you're here this morning and you've never followed him, I can promise you that he's the best shepherd that you'll ever follow. If you're here this morning and you've been wandering away from him, I can promise you there is no other shepherd out there that's like him. There's no other shepherd in here that is like him. He's a better shepherd than anything or anyone else. And just when we thought that a personal relationship with the creator of the universe, the incredible privilege of being a sheep in his flock, the promise of his care and his protection was more than enough, our shepherd came to earth. He became one of us in order to lead us out of darkness, out of our own sins, and out of our own failures. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, took our sin on himself. He paid the price for our forgiveness. He died and rose to life on the third day. And this is how we get welcomed into the flock of God. It is through belief in Jesus Christ. It's as simple as a sincere prayer offered from the depth of your heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Like a sheep, I know I go astray. I know that you came looking for me when I was lost. You died for my sins. You paid my debt. I believe that. And so, Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be the one who saves me, but I also want you to be the one who leads me. I want you to be my shepherd. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I started off this sermon by talking about dumb sheep. This is a reality that sheep on their own wander away. It's what they do. They make mistakes. They do dumb things. They put their own lives in jeopardy. What makes a good sheep is having a good shepherd. And if you're following Jesus, then you have the chief shepherd. You have the great shepherd. You have Yahweh Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. And it is the shepherd that makes all the difference. Even though we do dumb things, even though we're not perfect, even though we sin and stumble in so many ways, we can succeed because the Lord is our shepherd. The shepherd makes all the difference. In her blog, Unsearchable Things, Andrea8979 writes, when the sheep are cared for by a truly good shepherd, they listen to that shepherd explicitly, and they will follow that shepherd anywhere. And as a result, these sheep are not feeble. They're not panicked. They're not defenseless. They are calm and content and secure in their shepherd's care. And that is the kind of sheep that we get to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. And thank you that you haven't left us to our own vices and devices. I thank you that you love us. Not always sure why, but it's a promise that I have placed my eternity in the hope. Thank you that you loved us enough to die for us, and that you love us enough to lead us, to be our shepherd. Thank you for the reminder this morning, Lord, that you're the kind of shepherd that will leave the 99 to go look for the one that's lost. We know even right now, Lord, there are straying sheep. We probably have a few of them in our own families and in our own prayers. And so even as we thank you for being our shepherd, we bring these lost sheep to you. We pray that you would open our eyes this week, Father God. And we pray that we would be faithful to share the good news about a God who is our shepherd, who leads us. And as we do so, Father, we thank you. The goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Amen. We're going to turn to communion now. And communion is just going to be a little bit different this morning. So I'm going to walk you through the process a little bit. We have some loaves of bread, and we have grape juice that is in bowls. I'm going to have four couples come up, and they'll be standing. One on this side, one couple on this side. Ryan and Rachel, I think, are going to be over here. So if you have gluten, if you want the gluten-free bread, you need to go to Ryan and Rachel, who will be lined up right here, all right? And so you'll just take the bread and tear off a piece of it and dip it in the grape juice. If you've got little kids, you might want to make sure that you go up with them. So right now what I want to do is I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song about breaking bread together and drinking wine together and the mercy that we experience. And after we've sung this song, then the four couples will come up and they'll take the different breads and they'll move to the different stations. So you can just make your way down into the aisles and line up and take your bread, rip it off, and dip it in the grape juice. If you have any troubles with mobility, there will be one couple, Gary and Teresa, will be kind of making eye contact with you. If you are sitting and you don't feel like you want to get up and come to the front, if you just raise your hand or if you just kind of look for them and make eye contact with them, they'll be going throughout the congregation. I think they're going to serve the nursery and the sound guys first. So, and then you just watch for them if you want to just remain where you are and take communion where you are. Let's just take a moment before we sing to pray. And I'll invite you to stand with me as we do that. Father, thank you. Thank you that even though we are sheep, prone to wander, sheep without a shepherd, we have a shepherd. We have a God who loves us. Thank you for the bread that we eat that reminds us of your broken body. Thank you for the cup that we drink that reminds us of a new covenant in your name. As we do these things, we remember you, and we recognize that without your mercy, we would have been lost. And we remember that there's a world out there that without your mercy is still lost. And so as we take this bread and dip it in this cup, Father, we pray that you would remind us of the incredible gift you've given to us. And the incredible responsibility that you've entrusted to us.